So welcome to Mission Academy. It's a regular board meeting. It's Tuesday, February 28, 2023 at 9 a.m. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item IE. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@missionacademyhs.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. A reminder is required by state law SB 126. This meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. So we're going to open this meeting up and we'll do a roll call so we can establish a quorum. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck. Is Claudette on yet? All right, we'll come back to her. Mike Malloy.
Present.
John Dorch.
Present.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Present.
So we do have a quorum and we'll wait, and eventually Claudette will get back on here. So we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. John, can I have you do that and everyone else go on mute?
Be my pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That was really nice. All right. So now we're going to go into staff introductions, and we'll start, Mr. Brown, with you. Are you on?
Well, yes, I am. Thank you very much, President Stanford, members of the board. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer, on a clear, sunny day. Back to you.
It is. It is that indeed. Jerry Vincent.
Good morning, board and staff. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer. Struggling with my camera here, so I'll be wiggling around, but it's delightful to see you all and looking forward to a good meeting.
All right, that's fine. All right, so hold on here. I lost my paper. That's great. School staff.
Good morning, President Stanford and board. This is Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jenna Eunice, Principal of Mission Academy. Great to be here.
Welcome, Jenna. All right, School Legal Counsel.
Good morning, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
Any advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting?
Good morning, this is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
And good morning, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
And any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right, welcome to all of you on this fine morning.
Can you hear me now, Sarah?
I can. Is that Claudette?
Yes.
I just you want to say present?
Present.
All right. So we have a full quorum. Thank you, Claudette. I'm glad you're on here. All right, we're now on 1E. Adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. And this is Jeff Martin. Is Jeff with us today? Otherwise,
Bill Thompson.
Yeah. Bill Thompson, will you do it?
You're on mute, Bill.
Yeah, I forgot to go off mute. I'm handling that today, Carol. Thank you.
Okay.
We need to excuse Jeff today. Please refer to your board packets for the resolution for continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 allows the board to meet remotely during states of emergency as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risk to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended that the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution.
All right, thank you. If there are no questions for the board, I'd like a motion and a second to approve 1E.
Michael, I'll make a motion.
John Dorsey, second. All right. So Mike Malloy has moved. John Deutsch has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Deutsch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right. So 1E has passed unanimously. 1F. Approve agenda for the February 28, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I need a motion and a second for 1F.
Paul Gilbrand move.
All right. Barbara Willebrand has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. I'm not sure who I heard that, but that's okay. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Deutsch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 1G. Approved minutes of the February 3, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read these. If there's a correction or a comment, please do so right now. And otherwise, I'd like a motion and a second to approve 1G.
Bob Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
Robert Wilbur move. Claudette Beck second. Thank you, ladies. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Deutsch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1G has been approved unanimously. So now we're to consent agenda. This is 2. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. They are A, 1, and 2. 1, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 Parent-Student Handbook on pages 18 through 86. 2, the board will be asked to approve 2023-2024 School Calendar on pages 87 through 93 in your packets. Is there any board member who would like to table one of these or have a discussion? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 2, Consent Agenda A, 1, and 2?
John Deutsch, move to approve.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
John Deutsch has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Deutsch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So Consent Agenda A, 1 and 2 has passed unanimously. We're now into public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time. It is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public who would like to introduce themselves or make a comment? And if not, Shelley, has anyone from the public contacted you?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza from Charter Affairs reporting. Yes. Reporting that no members of the public have submitted written comments or requested to speak.
All right. Thank you. School reports and information. Principal update. Jenna Guinness. There she is.
Good morning, board and all. I hope you're well this morning and that you've received the principal's update. I want to just highlight a few items here. The first, we are actually in day 2 of our 3-day WASC visit for accreditation. So it's a very busy day, and I want to thank everyone on the board and at Lifelong Learning and all of our liaisons and partners for your support and participation in this visit. It means a lot, and we're very proud of what we do, and I know you are as well. One of the things I want to highlight from the board report is our increase in enrollment. So in LP1, we had 383 students over the course of that learning period, so July 1st. I'm sorry, 383. And as of today, we actually have 487 with more in pre-enroll status. So we're expecting to have 500 students. And again, we're maintaining that 85% minimum attendance rate that we really want, right? So that we know our students are achieving and moving toward graduation. We've also doubled our graduates over the past few months. So in a previous board report, mid-year, we had 16 graduates, and we now have 37. And actually more to date, but as of the board report. So really wonderful. We did have an in-person graduation ceremony in San Diego. We had about 12 graduates. I don't think I have a picture in the board report, but I should have put one in there. We had about 12 graduates who physically traveled to San Diego from all over, you know, the geographic locations from which they reside, to walk across the stage and to take part in a ceremony with another partner program. So that was really special. And seeing the faces of some of the students I remember enrolling for the first time and meeting their families, that was really wonderful. We also had a virtual graduation ceremony to follow for any students that couldn't attend. And those are always really intimate and very meaningful because you're, you know, talking to people face to face. So just a couple of highlights there. We do have one big change coming this fall that I want to make sure you're all keyed into. We are switching curriculum management systems. So we currently use a system called APEX, and the standards aligned curriculum is embedded in the system, and our teachers guide students through and modify, differentiate for different student needs for personalized learning. We actually had a staff, parents, and student committee, and we met with four other vendors. We created a decision matrix, and we weighted desired categories based on the needs of our students, parents, and staff in that survey and in those groups. So we have decided to move forward with Strong Mind, and Strong Mind that we used prior to APEX. They have a really strong program currently. It's been vetted, and they have social emotional learning modules that can be assigned at any time in addition to the curriculum, you know, the core curriculum and the academic curriculum. So we really, really liked that social emotional learning component because it allows us to provide students with resiliency skills and, you know, trauma-informed support. And so looking forward to that. We'll be training soon on that new curriculum program. And a great announcement in our student success story. We have an NCAA soccer player. His name is Jacob, and he signed with UCLA. So we actually have two graduates that we're anticipating going to four-year universities. One is UCLA, another one is USC. But Jacob has actually signed. He sent us videos of him scoring a goal, or his parents did. They're very proud of him. And he actually participated in our summer program, our July enrollment, for several years, and then decided to take this year away from his traditional high school to play club soccer and prepare for university soccer. And he's 17 years old. He only has 10 credits left to graduate. So really excited for him. A lot of people who are Bruins alumni, even in our network, have reached out to congratulate him. And we're hoping to see great things, maybe even spotlight him in a media story in the future. So that concludes my report for today, and thank you so much.
That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing about the soccer player. We all have kids who have played soccer. That's amazing. It really is. I did the WASP report yesterday, and thank you, Jenna. I saw you on there, and hope you shared all this stuff. Those were some really astute ladies. They really knew what they were doing. All right. Any other comments from the board members for Jenna? Okay, we're going to move on. Thank you so much. That was great. It's great to see that stuff. And I love your fact sheet. I shared that with the committee. It was great. All right, so now we're in legislative update, which is B, Bill Thompson.
Yes, thank you very much. One of the things that Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation does for the school, which would be challenging for the school to do itself, is really stay on top of all of the government code changes, ed code changes, and all other changes in the law that happen every single year. And Michelle Lopez has done an outstanding job. You'll see in your packet about a 20-page summary of all the legislation and such. So if Michelle's with us, I'd like her to maybe comment on a few of those things. Michelle.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Good morning, everybody. Enclosed in your board packet, beginning on page 95, is a summary of new laws affecting charter schools that were passed in the 2022 legislative session. As you can see, the governor signed many bills designed to assist schools and students coming out of the pandemic. A few highlights include Assembly Bill 748, which requires schools to create and display posters that share resources regarding student mental health, Assembly Bill 185, which increased state funding to schools, and a requirement from Assembly Bill 58 for schools to update their suicide policies and training materials to incorporate best practices identified by the California Department of Education. The legislature also focused on firearm safety and threats of homicide in school through two bills, Assembly Bill 452 and Senate Bill 906. Lastly, I'd like to bring your attention to three bills that affect the board directly, Assembly Bills 2158 and 2449, and Senate Bill 1100. Assembly Bill 2158 is an ethics training requirement that now extends to school board members. This is the same training requirement that has been in effect since 2006 for officials in the cities, counties, and special districts, which is commonly referred to as AB 1234 training. All board members seated as of January 1st, 2025 must receive the required training by January 1st, 2026, and then retrain at least once every 2 years thereafter. Second, Assembly Bill 2449 offers additional teleconferencing options under the Brown Act for board members, quote, personal emergencies or for just cause. There are very specific definitions for these exceptions and limitations of use that are described in the bill. Finally, Senate Bill 1100 provides the board president additional authority for dealing with members of the public who are disruptive at a board meeting. There are additional laws included in your board packet summary for your review at your leisure. This concludes my legislative update report. And if the board has any questions, Bill and I are here to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. It's always nice to hear from you. Any comments or questions from the board members? All right. Thank you. And Bill, you have something more to share?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Bob Morales is our Chief External Affairs Officer at Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation. And another service that is provided to the school is keeping kind of a sense of what's going on in Sacramento. Bob will occasionally be able to join us for these meetings, but he gave me a few things to share with you today just to kind of let you know where we are. 2022 actually turned out to be a pretty good year for charter schools and independent study. We didn't have any big, huge crises kind of legislation being submitted. Now they keep a real close attention to what's going on for 2023. And your CEO, Jeff Brown, and I, we once a week meet with the group, including the lobbyists and Bob Morales and the other folks, to kind of go over what's going on, what bills might be out there being presented in the legislature and that sort of thing. There are 30 new legislators that took office December 7th. So what happens is, and because of term limits, people move in and out of these assembly seats and Senate seats quite frequently, plus the various boards at the state level get new people. So, again, the object of all of this is to develop relationships with staff members and with legislators and that sort of thing. And so in order to do that, they will meet with these folks in Sacramento. They will also do other good things that help at the local level, too. For example, they had a meeting with the Orange County, in the Orange County School, with the city manager of Anaheim, and letting them know, you know, how we operate, how we're actually there to help, how we can help the kind of students that no one else is really helping. So they get this message out by doing this at the local level as well. Just another couple of points that Bob mentioned, wanted me to mention. We work closely with the CCSA, which is California Charter School Association, and the A+ and Charter School Development Corporation. I've been to all of their things, and I know some of you have too. All three of these organizations that really help each other in independent study and charter school matters. And so the group headed up again, the team by Bob, works closely with these groups, and we get a lot of information that way. We also have an opportunity to maybe have some input if we think something that they're thinking about doing, they haven't thought of all the unintended consequences. So I've seen this at work over the years, and it's very helpful to be working closely with these groups as well. So I think that kind of covers where we're at. Just want to let the board know that we, through these this extra help that we get, are on top of things. And it would be, again, difficult and challenging for one charter school to have the kind of influence and also stay on top of those things that are happening in Sacramento. So any questions about any of that?
Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay.
Okay, any questions from the board members? I'm hearing an echo. Uh-oh. Okay. All right, we're going to move. Thank you, Bill, so much. We're going to go to C, finance update. Gita.
Hello, board. So I'd like to go over page 116 in your PDF packet. You can see it on the screen. This document, again, is for your information. It's just a resource so you can access and see what the line of credits are that the school has. So there's two line of credits that the school has. One is Omni line of credit, which the school hasn't tapped into it. And then the only change really on this document is the interest rate. And as you all know, the interest rate keeps going up. So at this point, if the school draws money from the account, the interest rate is 8.25%. The expiration date for the agreement currently is November 3rd, 2023. The school has also met all the covenants requirements for the line of credit. And then on the bottom section, you'll see that the school also has an agreement with LLAC with a fixed interest rate of 4%. So at least that is a good news if the school requires to get a loan, it's at the lowest rate. Currently, there is a loan, and it's anticipated that the loan will be paid back in June of 2023. So that's all I have as far as this document. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to go over. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. It's always here. So cheerful for us to hear how this interest rate is going up and up and up every time.
Yeah, I mean, we do look at other options if ever, you know, a school needs, for any reason, more credit. But, you know, it's just very tough right now in the market.
It is what it is, kind of thing. All right, any questions or comments from the board members? All right, so now we're going to go down to D, California Dashboard Report. This is Lindsay.
Thank you, President Sanford. Please turn to page 118 in your board packet. As you may know, parents, guardians, educators, and other educational partners, as well as the public, can use the California dashboard to see how schools are performing under California's school accountability system. The dashboard provides performance information on multiple indicators for K-12 schools and across the state. These data are used to identify strengths, weaknesses, and areas in need of improvement for local education agencies and schools. State indicators are based on data collected consistently across the state from LEAs through the California Longitudinal Pupil Achievement Data System, commonly referred to as CalPADS, as well as testing vendors. The state indicators are academic performance indicators, English learner progress, chronic absenteeism, graduation rate, suspension rate, and college and career. For the 2022 dashboard, only performance is based on one of five status levels, ranging from very high, high, medium, low, and very low, and is calculated using data from the 2021-22 school year. This is the first dashboard after the pandemic and will be a baseline for future years. The 2022 dashboard shows that Mission Academy displayed the following status levels. We achieved low in English language arts and very low in mathematics. The indicator was measured by performance on the California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress, aka the CASP, as you're all very familiar with. We continue to focus on providing additional tutoring, differentiated instruction, and intervention coursework to help students recover learning loss during the pandemic. Furthermore, we hired a new Algebra 1 teacher. We began offering ELA and math office hours Monday through Thursday and adjusted math instructor assignments to help improve performance on these assessments. For the English Learner Progress Indicator, we scored low. 50% of our English learner students made progress towards English language proficiency last year. We have hired additional EL tutors to support our EL students and monitor progress for the 22-23 school year. Our suspension rate was very low. That's a good thing. 0% of our students were suspended last year. Our graduation rate was very low. Our graduation rate for the 21-22 school year was 33.8%. This percentage includes four-year graduates from the class of 2022, as well as fifth-year graduates from the class of 2021. On July 27, 2022, the U.S. Department of Education declined California's waiver request that would allow for the continued use of modified methods for calculating the academic and graduate indicators. As a result of this waiver denial, the 22 dashboard will be the first dashboard without any modified methods applied to state indicators and all dashboard alternative school status schools, or DAS schools, such as us. DAS schools will be treated the same as other schools on the dashboard. Previously, DAS schools were able to measure graduation rate using a one-year cohort rather than a four-year cohort rate, which makes sense, especially given the unique population of students that we serve. Many of our students enter our program at the age of 17 or 18, aka they're already in their fourth or fifth year. So to graduate them by their fourth or fifth year is not realistic in a program like ours. I still wanted to share, even though it's not reported on the dashboard, our one-year cohort rate for Mission Academy is 96.84%, which is phenomenal. That's a much better indicator of our success in terms of helping students graduate in our program. While it's tempting to be concerned about these performance indicators, it's important to remember the population that we serve. Our students enter our program extremely credit deficient and skill deficient. The average student enrolls with a reading RIT score of 206 points and a math RIT score of 204 points, which is equivalent to a fifth grade reading and math level. So it makes sense on the CAF. They're not going to score at meeting standards because they're entering our program so far below standard. But what we can measure is their growth in our program. And the average student increases their reading RIT score, as measured by NWA in our program, about two grade levels in reading and three grade levels in math. Our teachers observe student skills, confidence, and critical thinking improve over time. We know our students are learning, and we are proud of the progress they are making. We look forward to seeing continued growth in the future. This concludes my presentation of the California Dashboard for the 21-22 school year. Are there any questions?
This is Board President Stanford. I can't believe they did that. Even the public schools have got to be having a fit over that, because there's such an array of kids who are moving all over the place. And I mean, wow, that's just crazy. All right. But we do appreciate the huge percentage of kids in that 1 year who do graduate, and we do see that. Any other comments from the board members? This was a big thing that happened to us. Yeah.
All just right. Makes it look good. Doesn't make it look this plenty back. It just doesn't make it look good, but you know, we know the difference. That's the sad part about it.
Right. So it just falls on us to just educate the public, educate stakeholders, community members, to understand that our program is unique, and it's really not meant to be measured with the same stick that is measuring traditional schools, because we serve such a unique population of students. So it's really just important to just communicate and explain. Because, yeah, on paper it doesn't look good, but we know we're helping these kids.
Well, our audience is just a different audience. But the big thing is the public schools aren't going to look good either. This is going to – I don't see this staying. I think they're going to try to change it back. We'll see. See what happens. I know. I'm not really the voice of what's happening there. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
If there's no more comments, we're going to move to E, current vendor list. And this is Lindsay again.
Thank you again. The vendor list is located on page 123 of your board packet. The attachment is a listing of all of our school's vendors with a brief description of services. As you can see, the list includes vendors who provide varying services like professional development, technology, healthcare benefits, etc. We represent this list to the board as an informational item twice a year for your review. Please review the list for any potential conflicts of interest. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me, our legal counsel, Bill Thompson, or Jeff Martineau, if you have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Any questions or comments from the board? All right. So now we're going to go to F, and this is our board meeting dates. It's on in your packet on 126. As board members, we really appreciate the fact that get this, you can see we're April 25th to June 2nd. So put that on your calendars. A lot of things are going to start changing. So, and again, we're not going to be doing them every month. So that's going to make a difference too. All right. Thank you for that. So now we're going to go to action items. This is five. This is A, the board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. And this is Gita.
Hello, board. We're going to go over just the red lines that was changed in the manual, which is the recommendation to the board. Some of the areas are just grammatical and spelling corrections, which we always go through every time we bring a revision recommendation to the board. But there's two sections that were revised and changed and added. So the first one is the red line on pages 99 of the policy. And that section, we recommend to add the board member travel reimbursement policy. So that section was inserted and added to the whole policy. And you all have the copy of it. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss that. The second section was already there. It was a section that we incorporated into the manual during coronavirus pandemic. It's on page 106 of the policy, but that section basically just talked about the period of pandemic. And since pandemic is ending, we wanted to revise the verbiage and maintain electronic signatures. So sometimes documents require two signatures, and given that some people work remote and not as accessible as pre-pandemic, if the people that require to sign the document are not available, we want to continue to use electronic signature. And that whole process has been very secure and safe through the systems that we use. So we want to make sure that the school has that option. So that's the recommendation. So that was the change. So just basically removing the period for pandemic and make that process permanent. And that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
This is Board President Stanford. I love the way it's evolved, the electronic signature. It's so easy now for people like me. So I really do appreciate it. Any other comments? All right. Thank you, Gita. We're going to move to B, which is going to be Gita again. The board will be asked to approve the second interim report and revised budget for the 22-23 school year. And Gita, this is your turn.
Yeah.
Sure, thank you.
President Stanford, maybe I'm mistaken, but I think we need to take a vote on the school accounting manual.
We do. I am remiss here. Okay. So I need a motion and a second to approve 5A. Sorry about that.
John, there's
a Claudia Beck, I'll second.
Okay, so John Dorch has moved, Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5A has been approved unanimously. Thank you, Bill. So 5B, now the board will be asked to approve the second interim report, and this is Gita.
Thank you, board. The full document, which is Form 62 of CBE, is the second interim report for fiscal year 22-23. You can find the full document in your packet. It's on pages 135 to 142. And this document is the second financial report of the fiscal year. It shows the financial condition of the school for the first 7 months of the operations from July 1, 2022 through January 31st, 2023. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. And the financial sections include an original budget you'll see on column A, a second revision to the budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals year to date on column C, and projected totals in column D that matches the column B, which is the revised budget. It uses the same components and the process. We're going to go over some highlights. We'll start with the average daily attendance form. It's on the last page of Form 62. It's the average daily attendance. And on the last section, on the bottom half of Form A, it shows the ADA used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on the current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the second revision to the budget and projected year-end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 800, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 1,079, a noticeable increase of 279 ADA that has a positive impact in funding sources that are based on current year ADA. However, the first revision to the budget in the first interim was based on the projected increase of 387 ADA. So the second budget revision shows slightly lower revenue levels on ADA based on funding compared to the prior reports. Now we're going to review the revenue and expenditure. We go back to the beginning of the form. On the second budget revision, most revenue changes included the prior revision presented in the first interim report, which was in place. And they include a COLA of 13.26% for LCFF sources, same funding rates for SPED, lottery, and mandated block grant, and the addition of two state multi-year grants, Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant and Arts and Music Block Grant. In this revision, additional adjustments in revenue come primarily from changes in projected ADA and a reduction in approximately 33% in arts and music grant. LCFF sources show a projected 14.2 million, a noticeable increase over original budget, which comes from an increase in COLA mentioned before, an increase in projected funding ADA. The federal revenue remains at the same level, funding at 45,000. At this point, and this funding comes from federal SPED, which is based on prior year's ADA. On the other state revenue, you can see a significant increase from 854,000 to $2.3 million. That comes primarily from an increase in funding in state SPED due to higher ADA and a recognition of two restricted multi-year state grants that I just mentioned. The new projection includes a reduction of funding from arts and music block grant. Other local revenue shows a small increase of $21 coming from refunds. On the expense side, the school is projecting a total expenditure of $15 million, showing an increase of $5.7 million compared to the original budget, consistent with the increase in expenditures projected in the first interim report. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the one-time restricted grants and an expansion of existing instructional spending due to an increase in projected ADA. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $3.2 million. The noticeable increase is driven by an increase in students. The school is serving from 888 to 1,079 ADA that I mentioned. This increase is primarily due to an increase in teachers, certificated support, and administrative salaries, and classified instructional salaries. Projected totals for purchases increased from $946,000 to $2.3 million due to an increase in school supplies and materials and equipment. Projected operating expenses increased from $2.3 million to $3.3 million and includes an increase in professional services, training, and communication spending. After current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is budgeting an excess revenue of $1.3 million. The net position section in the first page, item F, shows a beginning net position of $1.4 million. With the projected excess revenue of $1.3 million, the school will end of fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $2.8 million. Of this total revenue, $181,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal year, according to the restricted grant plans. The projected ending unrestricted net position of 2.6 million will equal to 17% of the total annual expenditures. And thank you, and that concludes my report. Thank you so much. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to go over.
This is Board President Stanford. That's a really good report. It's so nice to see the increase in students and the increase in teachers, too. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Any other board members' comments for Gita? All right. Thank you so much, Gita. Now we need to vote. So I need a motion and a second to approve 5B.
Mike Malloy makes the motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
Mike Malloy's moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5B has been approved unanimously. Thank you for that. So now we're on 5C. The board will be asked to approve using the auditing firm Wilkerson, Hadley & Keene & Company, LLP, for the 22-23 audit. And this is Gita again.
Thank you, Board. So the Wilkinson, Hadley & King is the previous auditing firm for the school, and it is an approved CDE auditor. It has to be one in order for CDE to approve who audits the school. The agreement is in your packet. It's on pages 144 to 151. Basically, it talks about the scope of work. And as you know, since the auditor is approved auditor through CDE, the scope of work basically comes from what the CDE requirements are. So in order for the school to be in compliance with the audit. So we're requesting to continue using Wilkinson, Hadley and King for fiscal year 22-23 to do the audit for the school. On page 6 of this agreement, you can see the amount of the fee for the services, which is $12,000 for the audit. And that concludes my recommendation. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Carol, you're muted. I joined the mute club. There you go. All right. Get it again. All right, so can I have a motion in a second to approve 5C?
Approve 5C.
Okay, so John Dorch moved, Claudette Beck second. Is that good? I get that right?
Okay.
All right, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5C has been approved unanimously. We're now on 5D. The board will be asked to approve the board resolution approving board stipends, increasing the board member stipend from $450 to $500 for each board member for attendance at a board meeting. So this is a $50 raise for the board members. Any, let's see, Bill Thompson, would you like to discuss?
Yeah, I'd like to address that for just a moment. In your board package, you'll find the board resolution stating an increase in board member stipend from $450 per board meeting attended to $500 per board meeting attended. The increased stipend takes into consideration the additional board member responsibilities incurred over the past few years. In addition, the amount of time needed for board meeting preparation and participation in other events associated with the operation of the school. Also, we've considered the what we're all aware of, and that is the increased inflation that has occurred. We recognize and appreciate your service and diligence during these past few years, which resulted in your participation with monthly virtual board meetings, and we recognize the additional time and effort required by each of you as we transition back to in-person meetings. As such, we believe that this increase to $50 per board meeting is a reasonable increase for the new board stipends at the rate of $500 per board meeting. At this time, we recommend the board approve the board resolution approving board stipends, please.
Thank you, Bill. Any comments or questions of the board members? All right. I need a motion and a second to approve 5D.
Mike Mullard makes a motion.
John, all right, so we're going to go Mike Malloy motion to Barbara Willebrand seconds. Sorry, John. All right, we've got this in there. All right. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5D has been approved unanimously. Thank you for that. So now we're on 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
That's me. Thank you very much, President Stanford.
It is you.
Yes, it is. I'd like to thank all of the presenters because getting these reports in and making them clear and concise is important to me, and I'm sure the board appreciates that kind of approach. I especially want to thank Principal Jenna that enrollment growth is exceptional. That's pretty exciting. And that the graduation report, that's touching. 12, you know, I can understand you really don't see them that often, and would be able to sit there and communicate with them and their parents has got to be pretty darn exciting. I wish I had been able to be there. Congratulations, Jacob. Kick that ball, I guess, because UCLA is waiting for you. So we appreciate that. It shows that the programs work and the students are involved with, especially in the type of programs that you present. So it shows that it does reach out. Bill, Michelle, thank you for your legal reports. I'm sure the board appreciates it. I know I do. And, of course, Lindsay, her dash reports are clear and wonderful. So thank you so much for all that you present to us. And I'd like to send it back to you, President Stanford.
Thank you. So, Jerry Denson, now it's your turn.
Thank you, President Stanford. I, of course, mirror all of the appreciation that Mr. Brown has put forth. Lindsay and Jenna, you guys have knocked this online program out of the park. It's since it's been under your leadership, you guys are showing exactly what can be done for those students who need this specific type of access to education. Thank you. And I have to say, my son was quite the student, but he didn't receive a full ride to UCLA. So that's so exciting. I mean, it's from a Bruin mom. That's really exciting. Of course, we appreciate Bill. Michelle, it was really good to hear from you in this meeting. So thank you, Bill Thompson, always, and Michelle, for joining us and participating in this meeting. Really appreciate it. And before we end, I just want to give a quick, well, not a quick, just a very heartfelt reality statement about the Charter Affairs team, who has made it possible for all of us to meet month over month over month through this pandemic, and all of the technology and everything that was made available to us was from their desk, from their minds and their workings. It's important to recognize that. And as we transition into our live meetings, just the delta between what they were doing to what will now be done and just the short months of time that they were given notice, is astounding. So just very grateful to the Charter Affairs team, sincerely grateful, and board, grateful for your flexibility and being able to bob and weave and do it virtually and now in person. Looking forward to seeing you all face to face. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. This is Board President Stanford. Jenna and Lindsay, going through your WASP report, you guys have done an amazing job. And Gita, the finances look better than ever. I mean, this is great. And I have been the mother of soccer kids. None of my kids ever got a scholarship. And the fact that Jacob chose his senior year to come with us, could you see his high school coach say, where is he? I mean, come on, this is great. Great for Jacob. It's a good thing for him. And the fact that he chose Learn for Life is a wonderful thing for us. Michelle Lopez, it's so good to hear from you. You know, every time we have you in attendance, and it's nice to see you. I want to see a picture of you. I want to see you in person. That's what I want to see. So thank you so much for everybody and all the things you do. Any other board members?
I just want to say I appreciate all the reports because it keeps us abreast of what's going on in our organization.
Mark Miller concurs with everybody else.
All right. So thank you, everybody. If it's good, we're going to go now into 7, which is closed session.
Yeah. Board President, before you take the vote to do that, I believe Barbara will want to do the closed session kind of like we did last time, Barbara. So I will call you once we're in closed session. Okay.
Yes, sir. I just have it coming to my computer. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session for public employee performance evaluation, government code section 54957B1, area superintendent. So I need a motion and a second to go into closed session, or open closed session, yes. Barbara Wilbraham will move.
Mark Boyle, second.
So, Barbara Wilbraham has moved, Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
Barbara Wilbraham,
aye.
So, Melissa, we are ready. All right, so, remind me who made the motion in the second. I didn't write it down. Oh, yeah, I did. Remind me who made the motion
in
the second to exit.
John. I think it was Michael made the motion. John seconded it.
Yep. Okay. I got it. Mike Malloy has made the motion to exit closed session, and John Dorch seconded the motion. And the board voted unanimously to adjourn closed session and reconvene to open public. There was no action taken in closed session. That's that. All right. So now we're going to move into 8, closing items. Our next regular board meeting date is April 25th, 2023 at 1:30. And now I need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Barbara Wilbraham will second.
Thank you, ladies. Claudette Beck has made the motion and Barbara Wilbraham has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dorch.
Aye.
Barbara Wilbraham.
Aye.
So by unanimous vote, we are adjourning this meeting. Thank you all for your participation.